God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
And a recent survey said that nearly 9 out of 10 adults say they experience stress during the holiday season. How many of you can relate to that? You're the 9 of the 10, right? And more than 40%, this is what's fascinating to me, over 40% say they feel more stressful at this time of year, the most wonderful time of the year. 40% feel more stressful than they regularly do. And we don't need surveys, I think, to tell us that. We feel it. For many of us, the holidays don't create anxiety, but what they do is they amplify what's already inside us. This past week at our growth group, someone mentioned this, that December seems to be the time where people, their feelings, the things that are going on with them are just heightened. So if you're generous, you become a more generous person. But if you're tired, you become more tired. Amen? If you're stressed, December finds a way to ramp up your stress level. It amplifies what's already going on within us. So we're in the second week of this series, A Weary World Rejoices, as we've been talking about last week, the distractions, the busyness that often creep into our lives and create an opportunity. We looked at the parable of the sower, or of the soil, really, and the thorns that choke out the things in our life. And this morning, I want us to look at the anxiety, the stress that we often feel when a weary world is trying to rejoice. And here's what I've noticed. Anxiety isn't just the fear of what is happening, right? Anxiety is often the fear of what might be. Many of us have experienced this before. Not the fear of what's actually happening, but this anxiety builds within us of what might be coming. The conversations that we're worried about, how they might respond, what might happen because of that. The expectations that we feel, the outcomes that we can't control, but we so desperately want to. That passage that we just heard read from Luke tells us that an angel appears to Mary, and she was, the word is, greatly troubled. Now, at that moment, God shows us an example through Mary of what we can do when we're faced with a decision. It could go one way or the other. It says she's greatly troubled, which isn't the same as anxiety, but it can turn into that if we start down that pathway of what might be. The word anxiety actually shows up in scripture several times. You're going to see it throughout our scriptures here this morning. It's the word marinao in Greek, and it means a divided mind or to be pulled in different directions. So what does Mary do when she's faced with what could be this anxiety-producing event? The first thing that we notice, we're going to notice three things through Mary today. She doesn't panic. She doesn't try to put on a show. She doesn't pretend everything is okay. She engages. She engages with God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 29, It says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel speaks to Mary and she is greatly troubled. But here's what I think is interesting. The text is specific. She isn't greatly troubled that an angel is talking to her. If you saw that before or not. She's greatly troubled at what the angel said. Now, how many of us, if we were faced with an angel speaking to us, would be greatly troubled that an angel is actually talking to us? But she's more concerned about what was said, because what was said is what could produce the anxiety. It says she is greatly troubled. It means to be agitated or stirred up. It's not anxiety. It could be if it's not handled well. And here's what the angel says. The angel said to her, verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God." What troubled Mary was the angel came and told her that she was honored and blessed. "You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And then Mary reacts, not with anxiety. "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" How could she be highly favored? That's what caused her to be troubled in the first place. This is how angels appear to prophets and powerful people of God. She was just a teenage girl. "How can this be?" she asked, "because I'm a virgin." Now, this isn't doubt. She's not doubting God here. We see that actually a few verses beforehand, if you're familiar with the story of Zechariah, when the angel also visited Zechariah and told him that he and his wife in their old age were going to have a baby. If you remember that story, he asked a similar question, but it's not the same. His question is really should feel this way. "I don't believe you. There's no way that's going to happen." And the angel shuts Zechariah's mouth, if you're familiar with that, because Zechariah doubted. Mary here isn't doubting. She's actually doing something, the first lesson that we can see in how to deal with what could be an anxiety-producing moment, and that is she asks questions. She gets curious. She brings that anxiety to God. See, anxiety grows when it festers, when you just spiral out of control. But Mary gets curious. How can this be? Not, "I don't believe you," or "no way." It's, how can this be? She seeks to understand what she's feeling. Mary asks a question, and then she listens for God to speak. And the God, through the angel Gabriel, doesn't answer her with shame, but with truth. Verse 35, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." Mary's curiosity is met with a reminder of God's power. God points to his faithfulness, what he's doing in the life of Elizabeth. And God reminds her of a promise, what the word says, God's word will never fail. She was curious. And that leads to the second way that we can deal with the anxiety-producing moments in our life. And that's to listen for God's truth. Listen for the truth as we ask the questions. Seek truth. And believe what God tells us. God reminds her of his power. God points to his faithfulness. God reminds her of his promise. Listen for God's truth. Seek it and believe what he says. Jesus does something similar in Matthew chapter 6. He talks about something similar, at least. He says these words in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? And then he points to a truth. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And he goes on in verse 33, he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. It's a promise. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. See, what Jesus is telling us here is that worry and anxiety can take hold when we begin to think that we're the ones in control. When we believe that we are in control, we forget these truths of God. The care that God has for the birds, he says, of course, will he not take care of you? I heard a quote this week. It said, I've noticed that I've stopped noticing the Lord. I've stopped noticing the way he's taking care of those around me, the way he's taking care of the birds. What happens when we notice that we've stopped noticing the Lord? It's a reminder that we're really trying to be God ourselves. We're trying to be in control. It's an issue of trust. So Mary, when faced with this moment that could have sent her spiraling, think of all of the things that could have gone through her mind at that point, and that might have quickly, but she didn't dwell on them. What's going to happen to my reputation? What about Joseph? What about my family? What are people going to say about me? I'm just a teenage girl. I can't raise the Savior of the world. Instead of spiraling with all that, she gets curious and asks a question and then waits for God to speak truth into her life. I've noticed that I've stopped noticing the Lord. Mary was noticing the Lord. So Mary asks, and God answers. But here's the real turning point. What Mary does after she hears that truth. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. The Beatles quoted her there, right? Let it be. I might not fully understand it. I'm sure she didn't fully understand it. But she's not going to let that anxiety grow within her heart and soul in that moment. She surrenders. She turns the outcome over to God. She trusts God. She releases control. She trusts. She asks questions. She seeks the truth. And she trusts God. See, we don't have to always understand. Those moments when we're faced with something that could possibly cause us to spiral with anxiety and worry in our life, we don't have to always understand. We just have to surrender. We have to trust God, trust his truth. Why is this so hard for us? Or let me put it this way. Why is this so hard for me? I'm what a lot of people would call an anxious heart. My wife has experienced this a lot for me. When I'm faced with those moments, they can be something simple or something that could potentially be a really big deal. I don't always get curious and ask questions. I begin to spiral and ask that question we looked at the very beginning. What if? But what if this happens? Why does that anxiety often rise within my heart? And why does it rise within yours? I think there's three big reasons. The first is the need to control. The need to be in control. The second is the need for perfection. I can't get this wrong. If I get this wrong, then so-and-so will think this, or this might happen, or these people will look at me different, or I'll feel different about myself. And the third is that we want to perform. Not always in a bad way. We want to do the right thing. We want things to go well. Or the evil underside of that really is that we want to just look okay to others. Control, perfection, performance. That's often what fuels my anxiety. But Mary, she asked questions when she felt that. She listened for the truth instead of forming her own, right? Which is what I often do, what you might often do, as I begin to spiral. Paul talks about the remedy for this anxiety in Philippians 4, 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, I love this, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's not going to make sense. It didn't make sense for Mary to ask this question. How can this be? She should have, at least should have, I'll put that in quotation marks there, right? Ask so many other questions. If it were I would have spiraled into different things. Well, what if, but what if, but what if? But she had the peace of God that transcended all understanding. And what's going to protect us in those moments of anxiety? Something we do? No, it says the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we walk with Jesus, when we have the Holy Spirit working within our souls, it helps us to deal with these anxious thoughts, with these worries. Just like Mary, Paul's letting us know that the answer to our anxiety lies not within us, not within managing the situation or understanding it or having control. It relies with God. God was with Mary. God was actually going to be in Mary. And God is in and with us as well. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." All of us who are in Christ, that truth is for us as well. God's presence is the answer. God's presence is the answer. You think about those of you who might have children, or if you remember when you were a kid, bad thunderstorms, maybe monsters under the bed, this anxiety or worry that might happen in a young child. And they've got their stuffed animal, and they've got their blankie, and they're in a comfortable place. But what do they have to do in order to feel at peace? They come to mom and dad, right? And they get next to you and snuggle up in your bed. What has changed in their circumstances? They have the same stuffed animal. They've got the same blankie. They're in the same home. What's changed is they're in the presence of their parents. The presence in their life is now changed. They're no longer feeling alone. They're with someone who they trust, who they know is there for them. The circumstances didn't really change. The storm is still outside. The teddy bear's still there. There still might be something in the closet. But they feel safe because they're with their mom and their dad. Now, Mary shows us how we can deal with this anxiety. But anxiety doesn't just live in our beliefs. It lives in our bodies, right? In our habits, in our thoughts. And the rest of the time we have here this morning, I want us to get really practical. So I'm going to ask my wonderful wife, Angie, to come join us up on the platform this morning. If you don't know Angie, not only is she a wonderful disciple maker and a follower of Jesus Christ, but she's also a pastoral counselor. And I was going to help her up, and she already got up there, so she made it. And I want to ask Angie to help walk us through some practical ways, some steps that we can take to walk us through those same three steps that Mary did in her life. And so I want to ask you just a question here that's kind of in my mind is, a lot of times we as Christians, especially over the years, we've maybe struggled to talk about anxiety, something that we feel a little bit of shame about, or we feel like we shouldn't feel that way. Why do Christians feel shame about having anxiety?
Well, I think a lot of it is sometimes we can misinterpret the scripture that we read this morning. We read that passage that said, "Don't be anxious about anything." And so some people kind of misinterpret that. There's a difference between anxiety that's caused by chemicals in our bodies and in our brains, and on the flip side, worry about things that aren't necessarily necessary for us to worry about because we trust that God is taking care of us. So one thing to remember is that we all have these emotions in varying degrees. But the responsibility that we have in that is to do the work to manage and regulate those emotions in ways that honor God.
So what's the difference between feeling worry or anxiety or, maybe a lowercase worry to a big worry?
Right. So I like to call it concern. So concern is more of an awareness. And some of you may know that I had cancer a year ago. And there was some concern for my condition, as cancer can obviously be very serious. But did I have anxiety over it? Did I worry about it? Actually, I didn't. Because the truth was that if I was to die of cancer a year ago, lucky me, right? Because I get to be face to face with the Savior that I worship, you know, only in spirit at this point. And if I survive, I get to keep doing what I'm doing and telling people about him. So concern is understanding the gravity of a situation and making choices based on that. And it's mostly in our heads. But worrying is kind of stewing over it, letting it eat away at us. It's more in our gut. And that can distract us from what we're called to do and who we're called to be.
Yeah, I can openly admit that I didn't have the same reaction to that situation that Angie did. I did begin to spiral, to ask those questions, but what about this? What about this? What does this mean? And to feel that peace and that presence of God is important. So when Mary's conversation with the angel, we see her get curious and she asks this question instead of spiraling into anxiety like she could have, like many of us often do, given the circumstances and what she was being told. But how can we do the same thing and get curious when we start to feel overwhelmed and anxious?
Yeah, so when we're thinking and processing within ourselves, the first thing is just to be aware of what's coming up inside of us and just to get curious about why and where those things are coming from. So when we're feeling something, we can dig into it and try to figure out why we're feeling that way. So sometimes what presents as a big ball of anxiety is actually several emotions tangled up into one big mess. So we can try to pick out the different threads of what's going on and just kind of trace them back and figure out where they're coming from and why we're experiencing them in that way. So what we're feeling might be from a current situation, or it might be something that happened a really long time ago. And it's worth the time to try to pull those things and figure out where the origin is. And additionally, if we're processing and becoming aware of something that we're telling ourselves or saying to ourselves, we have some work to do there as well. We can start to wonder, why do I think this? And then we can ask, is this objectively true? Maybe we can even ask, do I hear this in someone specific's voice? Because sometimes the things that we tell ourselves or say in our own heads were told to us or they were said about us. And they may or may not line up with what God says about who we are. So it's tough, but it's also super impactful to be willing to do the work to trace where our thought processes and our feelings and our worries are actually coming from. And this is one way to practice what Paul calls taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. And that's in 2 Corinthians 10:5.
So once we've gotten curious and we start digging into that, how do we make sure that we have some sort of plumb line that brings us back to the truth?
Yeah. So as we're digging into these things, as believers, it's important to invite God into that process as well. So we know that all truth comes from him, and so we have to allow him to both tell us who he is and who we are. So we are created in his image. So connecting with him and letting him heal some of those places that were wounded and allowing him to shape our responses going forward can change our lives in drastic ways. So how do we do that? It's kind of simple, but we have to stay connected to Scripture, we listen for the Holy Spirit, and we pray.
So we get curious, we ask honest questions, and bring our anxieties to God. We seek truth, we're listening for God's voice through prayer, the Holy Spirit, through Scripture, and then believe what he says, right? We can't just read it or pray it, we've got to believe it. And then we have to trust God to release control and place the outcome in his hands. So how do we practice presence of God in the middle of that tension?
So a lot of times it can just be as simple as setting aside the time and the space to get quiet and still with the Lord. When we're anxious, the temptation is to just go, 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 go. Busyness is a very powerful avoidance strategy. So silence and stillness with God allows us to just sit with whatever emotions are occurring and allow God to enter into that space with us. So depending on what we're worried about, perhaps those feelings will dissipate like a shadow when exposed to the light. Perhaps they won't seem as big and overwhelming in the light of an all-powerful God. Or perhaps they will simply be more manageable because we know that we're not alone.
So what are some healthy biblical ways that we can just, that we can deal with the anxiety that we're feeling in the moment?
Yeah. So psychology loves deep breathing exercises, and for good reason. Breath work and deep breathing can help us shift out of that fight, flight, or fawn response and into a more controlled and calm state. It can settle our nervous system, it reduces stress, and it promotes relaxation. And this is all by God's design. However, we can also use that deep breathing to pray. We can find a simple, maybe two-phrase prayer and say one part as we inhale and the other part as we exhale. So if we're overwhelmed by our own thoughts and emotions, we can inhale more of you and exhale less of me. We can breathe in God's presence, his peace, his comfort, and exhale our own stress, anxiety, and overwhelm. Or if we're struggling with anxious thoughts, we can quote a scripture like, inhale, be still and know, and exhale that you are God. Or if we want to use one of the verses that we talked about today, I think, we can pray directly to God and inhale, I give my cares to you, and exhale, because you care for me. You can even add motions if you're more of a kinesthetic person, like, I give all of my cares to you because you care for me. God made all of us, and we can use our whole bodies in our prayers with him. So, as we close today, I want all of us to kind of put some of this into practice. I'm not going to ask you to do anything weird, but we're going to sit quietly for a full minute and breathe deeply of the Lord and of his goodness. So as we prepare to kind of rest in prayer in this way, I want you to just take stock of yourself for a second. Pay attention to where you're feeling tension. So as you kind of internally scan what your body feels like right now, where do you notice tension? So everybody, stretch your neck to one side and then stretch it to the other. Open your mouth wide and then close it. Lift your shoulders up and then drop them down and back. Stretch your arms and your fingers out in front of you and then lay them in your lap in a comfortable spot.
I feel better already.
Stretch your legs out in front of you. And then put your feet flat on the floor. Now breathe deeply so that you're inhaling all the way down to your belly. Hold it for a couple seconds and then let it out. Let's do that one more time. Inhale all the way down to your belly. Hold it and then let it out. All right, so now I want us to choose a two-phrase prayer to say as we inhale and exhale.
Let's put those back up on the screen if you don't mind, those three.
So you can choose one of the examples on the screen that we've already talked about, or if another two-phrase prayer comes to mind, that's great. So I want you to pray that simple prayer as you breathe in deeply, in and out, for the next minute, and then we'll close in prayer together.
God, may we have more of you and less of ourselves. God, may we take the cares and the burdens that we're feeling and give them up to you because you care for us, Lord. We be still and know, not that we have it all figured out, that we have all of the answers, that what if, but Lord, that we would be still and know that you are God, that you have everything in the palm of your hand. That the anxieties that we're feeling, not just in the moment right now even, but in this season and in our lives, Lord, each of us is wrestling with different things. Some are heavy burdens, God, they are. They're not just little worries, they're big worries. Lord, may we bring them to you. May we get curious and ask questions. Listen for your truth and trust you with the outcome. May we release it to you as Mary did. Say, may it be, let it be what you say. Lord, may we breathe you in and exhale you out. May the people around us, may they not feel the tension in us, Lord, but may they feel your Holy Spirit. In those moments that are going to happen over the next few days and weeks when we're gathered with family and friends and our anxiety might begin to grow, would we be reminded of just that simple exercise we just went through to breathe you in and exhale out, Lord? Not so that we can do something physical, but so we can be reminded of the spiritual nature of the spiritual thing that's happening within our souls as we breathe in your truth and exhale your truth. That we wouldn't breathe out, Lord, the anxiety and the anxiety on others, and that we would spiral out of control, but that we would be people who are known as people of peace. May we follow those words in Philippians. May the peace of God, Lord, that transcends all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church together said, amen. So I want to encourage you, we'll go through those three again, that when we're starting to feel that anxiety well within us, maybe it happens in the hallway, even here at church, or on your way home and you're driving in traffic, or you're sitting with your family at dinner or your kids or your job tomorrow morning, that we would get curious, that you would ask questions and bring that anxiety to God, that we would then seek truth, that we wouldn't just go with our own truth, but that we would actually seek the truth, that we would listen for God's voice and believe what he says about the situation that we're in, about what we might be feeling about ourselves, that we're highly favored, just like Mary was. And will we trust God? Will we release control and place the outcome in his hands? That's a big one for me, that I would release the control, that I would not try to manage the situation, but I would recognize that, as Jesus tells us, do I not care about the birds of the air? How much more will I care for you? So get curious, seek truth, and trust God. And 1 Peter 5:7 tells us why we should do this, why all this matters. It says, cast your anxiety, all of your anxiety, on him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. God, I just thank you for our time here this morning. I thank you for the care that you have for each and every one of our souls. Lord, may we place our anxiety at the foot of the cross because you care for us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.